I'm Hannah Footman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthazen.
And we are
Think Fat Boy Podcast. Ladies,
I'm good. I'm really tired. My niece woke me up at the crack of dawn this morning.
Oh gosh,
I know. Dorothea, we love
Dorothea.
Her. She is a lovely
sort. A lovely one.
Yeah. Gosh, children are hard, man.
Yeah.
I feel like no one is ever prepared for just how difficult it will be as well.
No, I don't know how my sister does it.
Do you reckon like second or third time round, you've just forgotten, so then you're back in it? Like,
I think probably.
Yeah, I mean, my sister's just moved in with my parents, her husband and their two daughters. And my mum was like, wow, I totally forgot how difficult childcare was. And she had three daughters.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, as well, you don't remember childbirth, probably because you'd never go through it again.
That is a thing. That's totally fully a thing.
I found out a really interesting fact.
Oh, I love a fact. Is this on your app?
No, this wasn't on my fact app this time, actually. I was told this. And apparently, everyone, like, during the Shakespeare period, like, everyone was very aware of star signs and blah, blah.
Ooh.
And apparently everyone knew that Henry VIII was a Cancer.
What do I say about cancer men? What do you say? Just don't date them.
Yeah.
Is what I say.
Don't marry them.
Really?
Yes. So interesting.
That was my thing on the quiz was, yeah, are you a Cancer or are you... What was the other one? I think it's a Sagittarius.
Sagittarius. Well, Danny is a Cancer. So,
and Danny is a Cancer.
You got a point for that. But I guess, like, naturally...
Wait, am I being really obtuse? Who's Danny?
Danny Griffin.
Oh!
Sorry, Danny.
You're Danny. And also, like, if you do date a Cancer, there is always the chance that they'll behead you. If you betray them.
Kath, tell me more about these Cancer men. Because I've not dated a Cancer man, knowingly.
Okay, this is such a huge generalisation. please at me, because I actually...
Want to engage.
I'm ashamed. I want to engage, and two, I'm ashamed that I'm actually saying this. Because I don't believe it at all, but it's also true.
Two things can be true at once.
Cancer men. Emotions, right?
Many
cancer.
Emotions.
Cancer, the mother of the zodiac, the feeler, the watery sign, yeah, cardinal earth, you know. Beautiful sign.
The
wonderful.
Milk that feeds us all.
Yes, watery. Oh, God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Deep emotions. Men. Opposite.
Conflicting.
Yeah, struggle with that. Ooh, toxic masculinity and a sprinkle of feelings.
Yeah, hard one. Tough
yeah,
one.
Not fun.
Crab. Cancer man in therapy, though. Could be fantastic.
Could be.
Yeah, on out the other side.
Yeah, wonderful. But the shell, so the crab has a shell, right? Cancer's a crab. They've got this like really hard shell, and then they're all like soft on the inside.
Yeah.
Super protective.
You're making me want to eat a crab.
You can do that.
You can eat a crab.
Yeah.
Just side note quickly. When I was a kid and I used to go to the aquarium with my mum, we used to look at fish, and I'd turn to her and she'd be like, "Mmm, oh, she saw in it." Which means, oh, that looks really tasty, doesn't it?
That is so great. So good.
That is so fantastic.
Oh my God. And actually, when I look at cancer men, I think the same thing. I'm like,
yeah.
I could devour that and spit it back out. I wish I was that much of a fuck girl. We can but aspire.
One day.
Well, I mean, I think actually, to be fair, Cassie would 100% devour a cancer man.
Who's the woman we're going to be talking about today?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, she would. God. Again, know nothing about her.
Nada.
So thrilled that you guys know nothing about her. I actually found out about her on TikTok.
Oh, really?
Did you?
We do learn from
TikTok.
So
it pays off not being a choogie.
Yeah. It does pay off not being a choogie. It pays off to spend hours and hours of your life being outed by your algorithm for all of your, all of the things you didn't even know about yourself. And then you'll learn about some fantastic, iconic con artists.
Oh my God, tell me more.
I love the idea of
I mean, we're going in. We're going in now from the start of this episode. Okay, so Cassie, total icon. I absolutely love it when we do episodes on real people because...
Same.
Wow. I can't believe these people existed. I'm so thrilled that they did. And Cassie, con artist or businesswoman?
Businesswoman. I don't know yet, but businesswoman.
100% businesswoman.
Yeah, she's definitely not going down the legal route, but she's a business boss
business
bitch.
Witch.
Oh yeah, 100%. The newspapers at the time, they, I mean, gosh, your allergies are going for the fuck girls already.
They do go for
okay,
the fuck
so
girls.
Yours go for the fuck girls, yours go for the fuck boys now. Yeah. Now mine goes for the fuck thems.
Fuck thems, okay. Fuck thems. We've all got people who can drag our allergies out of us.
Thank
good
God.
To know. As a team, we'll be really good at detecting
oh, yeah.
a fuck
yeah.
person
walk
as well.
Into a bar and just...
yeah, which one of us is sneezing.
But
yeah.
fuck people, detectors.
It's a blessing, actually. this is the kind of mid to late 1800s that we're talking.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. First in Canada and then in America. This is this just to set the scene
ooh,
for you guys.
A
what
devilish
are people wearing? Can I just want to see what these people are wearing.
Big, big fuck off dresses.
Okay, are we getting the ruffles, the ruffs?
No, not ruffs around the neck.
Oh no, that's wait.
Sorry. A cake.
That look you just gave me was so cruel.
I'm so sorry.
You were like.
Yeah, I was like fainting in my wrath because
yeah,
like,
I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's the thought- as soon as I saw the look, I was like, I'm so wrong.
But you like absolute. You're like you love a period drama.
I do.
Surely you've
I
been do. In one. I don't know, but
yeah,
not anyway. That late though.
Not okay, that late. Not that late.
Yeah. No, that's like Tudor period, isn't it?
The rough.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
full on thinking like Elizabeth
yes.
I. First.
Yes. No, we're a little
no,
bit worried.
We're still in corsets.
Yes.
So we're still in big skirts and corsets.
Still desperately
we've got a
uncomfortable.
Neckline, I think.
Yes, I think the tits are out at this point.
Yeah, it's like those weirdly low. What? I don't
well,
know.
I'm not sure.
Oh no, they're like this, aren't they?
I think they're like
is
yeah,
it Bridgerton?
Ooh, is it like Jane Austen?
Yes, yeah. I think it's Jane Austen
okay.
time.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So
fine,
not
fine.
Entirely sure. We should check that.
Yeah, genuinely no idea. I don't know why I looked at you like that.
We'll put some...
It's fine, darling.
I apologise for everyone to hear.
I liked it.
Do it again.
Oh, look at me like that all the time.
Just look at me. I don't care how you look at me. Just look at me. Yeah, it's been a long pandemic year. Anyway, we'll put some stuff on Instagram. We'll
yes.
reference on Instagram.
Yes, we will.
The old outfits. What she would be donning for her mischief. But the newspapers at the time described her as one of the greatest con artists in American history.
Oh, wow. I love her.
Her life is actually being made into a film called The Duchess of Criminality.
Oh, wow. Who, with who?
No one's on the IMDb at the moment. I think it was being made and then Pandemica occurred.
Mm.
So, you know, to come, one to watch out for, will be a very good storyline.
Holy shit.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, Cassie Chadwick was born on the 10th of October in 1857, which makes her a...
Say it again.
10th of October.
Scorpio.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a Scorpio woman.
Of course yeah. she's going to literally just tear the world in two, isn't she?
Sex, death and taxes.
Sex, death and taxes. And that's what she is
yeah.
all about.
It is taxes. Like on... she's taking from the rich and giving to herself.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
The poor, being herself.
Yes, yes,
being
exactly.
one person.
Exactly. And she was born in Eastwood, Ontario, which I believe is in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually born as Elizabeth Bigley. So Cassie Chadwick is who she is famously known as.
So she's a bit of a Cruella.
Oh yeah, she has multiple names. So so stick with it, but I'll probably refer to her as under many different names.
Ooh.
She had a pretty comfortable childhood. She had three sisters and one brother, raised on a farm. She was a bit of a farmhand, and her dad also worked at the railway. So he had two jobs. So they had like mm-hmm. a fair amount of money. But Betsy, as they called her when she was younger, very unassuming name for someone.
Isn't
you're
it?
You're going to start talking about a cow.
Yeah, actually. Probably. What she, her and the cows had the same name. So what if she was so pissed?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was quite a problematic child. Kept lying all the time.
Same.
Me too. Lied all the fucking time. Because I was so good at it. That's why I became an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do it for a living.
I do.
And also she like consistently dreamt of having a really lavish life. Like she was known for being a real daydreamer.
Mm. Ooh. Yeah. Is this Sandy guy?
Where's her Taurus placement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Our Scorpio Taurus, opposites.
Yeah.
Opposites basically the same.
Yeah. Famously. Exactly the same.
Yin and the yang, you know what I say?
Yes,
a little bit of both and both.
Very true. So she kind of was brought up. Dreaming of other and even though she had quite a comfortable life, she was just not content with it. She wanted more from her life.
But it's that thing when you live in the countryside, yeah. Right? You want time. To be in the city. And mm-hmm. when you're in the city, you want to live in the countryside.
Yeah, that's grass is always greener. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when she was 14, they actually moved to Woodstock, Ontario, which I believe is like a little bit less rural. And when she was 14, this was when she first started taking action upon her natural lying abilities.
Girl got started young.
She did start young. And so 14 years old, she opened a bank account with very little money that she had. And
14?
At 14.
I wouldn't even know how to tie a shoelace.
At 14. Wow. Okay, that's bad. Can you fry an egg? Can you boil an egg?
I can boil an egg.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. You have recovered.
But
then.
All my shoes are Velcro.
Still not learned. Still working on it.
And all your clothes are zips rather than buttons. Yeah,
corsets for you. So she opened a bank account with very little money that she had. And then she showed a fake letter of inheritance from an quote-unquote unknown uncle in England that she had made herself.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she's forging letters.
From 14. And it looked legitimate enough that the bank gave her checks to spend the money in advance.
Oh my god.
So she's like, oh shit, I'm good at this.
Super smart.
Wow.
Yeah, that is young. 14. You are very much still a child then. So yeah, and they started like rewarding her with these checks and she was like, oh, brilliant. But she did get caught very, very quickly. and she was arrested within a few weeks for forgery. But she was released pretty much straight away with no trial because of her age, and also her parents were like, she's insane. So
that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. So she got out on grounds of insanity as well.
Oh yeah, the classic.
Yeah, yeah.
A so classic
it actually defense. Paid off and worked in her favour for now.
Helps that she's female as well. She's insane.
She's insane.
She's insane. Give her an orgasm.
Yeah,
she's hysterical. That around that time. Yeah.
She's hysterical. Finger her, she'll feel much better. That's the way. And then there's like a 3 year age, 3 year like gap where we don't really know what happened in her life, mainly because mm-hmm. she was a minor, and I think people were just like, she's 14, she committed a crime, let's just keep her with the cows for a while.
Yeah.
But then we find out that in 1875, Chadwick went back to Eastwood and she saw that her sister Alice had married a man called Bill York, who was a carpenter from Ohio, Cleveland, and she'd moved there with him.
Sounds like the kind of guy you want, Kath.
Yeah.
Carpenter fit, actually. Fit.
Very fit. Joseph.
You'd have very Joseph. Very got my wife pregnant without actually ever having sex with her.
Divine intervention.
Yes, divine intervention involved. So Cassie finds us out, or Betsy as she's known at the time, finds us out and she's like, oh, I'm going to go to the US of A. I want bigger things. And so she follows her sister and Bill to Cleveland, Ohio, and she starts staying with them.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, she's like, I want to have my own place. So she starts renting a house from a Mrs. Brown.
Oh, there's always a Mrs. Brown, isn't there?
Yeah, Mrs. Brown. And she does this by hiding her identity. She's like, obviously I could rent this as myself, but like, boring.
Boring.
Yeah, exactly. So she decides to call herself Madame Lydia De Vere.
Babes, that's my alias too. Alias?
Alias.
Yeah. Help.
Help.
Say that name again.
Lydia De Vere.
So not even Mademoiselle.
No.
She's like, I'm fucking married.
No. She's a widow. She makes herself a widow and she sets up shop as a clairvoyant.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
With a bank loan. She's one of us. With funds from a bank loan on her sister and brother-in-law's furniture. Savage. So she goes to the bank and she's like, take this as collateral.
Oh my God, that's so good.
She like moves out there. They extend their like kindness to her, let her stay with them. And she's like, taking stock of the furniture, writing down the labels, like fire safe. Yeah, exactly. Head straight to the bank and gets a loan. It's like, I'm going to be a clairvoyant. So in 1882, Madame Lydia De Vere marries someone under the pretense of being this like a harrowed widow and has had a difficult life. She marries Dr. Willis S. Springsteen and she moves into his house. But yeah, she kind of has set up this and she seems like a businesswoman. She has all of these like this complete fake life and she's just completely taking advantage of everyone. And then she marries this man and just disappears. moving into his house. No one ghosts. She ghosts everyone. Fuck. Essentially,
she takes a leaf out of the ghost that she's communicating with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, they like, hey, Madame, blah blah blah, whatever her name is. I've got a little idea for you.
You can do a meet. Yes, exactly. But she didn't really think this through. You can tell that she's like consistently learning because she keeps fucking up at the beginning. So
can
she
I
marries
just
him.
Ask, how old is she at this point?
So it's 1882 and she was born in 1857. So she's 25?
Yeah.
Maths.
Wow, young.
Yeah, she's young. She's conning and she's young. She's hot. She's young and hot and a clairvoyant and a widow. As far as everyone else is concerned. So, I mean, she's a hot young widow.
Yeah.
Ready to remarry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she does, but she didn't really think it through because she gets a photograph and a story about the wedding in the Plain Dealer newspaper. And this means that Chadwick's sister, so Cassie's sister, Alice, and various other tradespeople that she'd been taking loans out on from found out where she was, and they all turn up on her doorstep.
Oh
and
my
start
god!
Demanding money for the debts that she's not paid back.
Oh fuck!
Yeah.
But she ghosted her sister.
She ghosted her sister. So she like took out a massive loan on her sister, all of her sister's furniture. Bank's gone. Probably like, okay, can we have your furniture now? All of her furniture gone.
Oh no!
She's just taken that money and run.
Oh god, she's in an empty house.
Yeah.
Oh ouch.
Awful. So she turns up like, bitch, my chaise long is gone.
Yes.
And that was your fault. You owe me a chaise long.
Yes.
Lady.
Lady.
Yeah, I'd be mad about that too.
I'd actually be so upset. Yeah.
So her and all the various other tradespeople, because clearly she's just taking advantage of like carpenters galore, they all like come a knocking, being like, give us some money back. And Springsteen was like, no, this can't be true. Like, this is my beautiful, widowed, clairvoyant wife.
Yeah, like the song.
Yeah, just like the Brits.
Little girl is dead.
Exactly, like that. It bursts into song instantly. And then he comes to realise that it is all true. Oh, and he sings a song about being betrayed and then throws Betsy slash Cassie slash Madame de Vere out of the house and files for divorce.
Well, that's not long.
No, and that happens in 1883. It's not Cheslong. So it only took about, it's not Cheslong before she's thrown out. And in 1883, she's chucked out the house.
No.
But the good thing is, because of the nature of the time, and I feel like I need to say this to give context to the whole thing of how epic this is.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a loan as a woman during this time.
Mental.
So if she wants, it's not like she could get a mortgage or help herself out. Like, she can't stand on her own two feet. She's completely reliant on men, as all women are during this time.
Yeah.
So what other option does she have, really? But it does pay off because Springsteen has to use all of that sweet, sweet dollar that he's got to pay off all of Cassie's debts before he can divorce her.
Oh, right. So it's all on him.
It's all on him. So that's why he's so pissed about it as well.
Oh my God. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just doesn't help anyone.
No, didn't they marry surely under a false name?
I don't think it matters. He still had to pay off her debts. She was his property, essentially. So he had to cover all of those debts.
He bears the brunt.
Yeah. So when their marriage was devolved, she did like the only thing you can do, and she became a clairvoyant again. But this time, going by Madame Marie LaRose.
Oh,
I didn't think it could get better.
But it did.
And here she is, dropping a better name every single time.
Yeah.
Madame
Marie LaRose.
LaRose.
Marie LaRose.
Which I must say does sound very fake.
It's very Lana Del Rey, isn't it?
It is. It's also very like La Vie en Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sure. Yeah. A rose by any other name. It smells sweet.
A bit fancy.
Would it though? Would it though?
If it's your third time, third fake name, it's a bit stinky by that point. It stinks of a fake name. But we buy it because she's obviously, like, we have to assume that she was, like, deeply, deeply charismatic and charming and...
Do we know what she looks like?
With a name like that.
Yeah, let me get you a picture.
Madame Marie LaRose.
So good. So this is Cassie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a little sorted chick.
Okay.
What vibes are you getting?
Also, a bit ruffly around the neck,
fucking ruffly.
Big ruffles on the sleeves.
Dude, that looks like a fucking ruff.
I spy a motherfucking ruffle.
I spy a motherfucking ruff. That fucking chest piece.
Yeah, she's doing good.
We will put this on Instagram.
No tits, actually. No tits.
Not a tit inside. Sorry, I thought you meant like she didn't have tits. And I was about to go, one of me.
So Cassie, yeah, she's now going as Madame Marie LaRose. And she marries John R. Scott, who is a farmer. So she's going back to her roots. From Trumbull, County, Ohio. Watch me mispronounce everything. But this time, so this is her second husband. And she has learned from her first marriage.
Ooh,
so
naturally.
This time, because she, obviously, Springsteen did pay off her debts, but she didn't get any money from that marriage.
Right.
So this time, she convinces Scott to sign a prenup. So it would basically lay down the rules of if they get divorced.
Very Kanye West of her.
But she's doing that knowing full well at some point.
She's bye-bying.
She's here for the cash. She's here for the cold, hard cash. But obviously because she's in the prenup, or maybe because she's just perfectly happy, she stuck it out on the farm for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she's like grafting hard for that cash, you know. 4 years later, she goes to a lawyer in Youngstown and submits a sworn statement that he has committed adultery and they get a divorce.
Ooh.
So she gets money this time round.
And did he?
No, I doubt it. Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe he was fucking Betsy the cow. Who knows?
Probably.
Who the bloody hell knows? But at this point, she's out of the marriage.
You know what? Mary Rose probably dressed up as someone else, took on a different name, fucked him, and then was like, and then returned back to Mary Rose and was like, I saw you fucking...
Another alter ego.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just sleeping with all your different personalities. It's still the same person.
And he's like, well, this way may not hold in a court of law.
Yes. And I'm going to, it's my word versus yours. But regardless,
I'm shocked they believed her.
Yeah, me too.
She must be fucking charming.
Yeah. She must be very, very good at lying. To be fair, she's made a real career out of it.
She has.
That is not really of a surprise. But she's out of the marriage. So 4 years later, must be around like 1887. She's out of the marriage, she's out in the town, and she very swiftly gets herself jailed. Yeah, as she does, because she's doing forgery again. But she's not great at forgery. It's clearly not, well, I mean, it's clearly her forte and her fall down. And she's sentenced to 9.5 years penitentiary in Toledo for forgery. But she was paroled in 1893 after serving only around 4 years.
Okay.
Because of good behaviour.
Hmm.
So she stuck it out.
It's a classic, isn't it?
She grafted 4 years on a farm and 4 years in a prison.
Fucking hell.
She's really put the time in. But once she's out...
She's not learning though, is she?
Not really.
She's not learning.
She's just...
Do we ever think she changed the... No.
Yeah, 4 years on a farm, you think you'd start to ask a few questions about your life? No?
No.
Is it 4 years in jail? Nope.
She comes straight out and she's like, no, sorry.
Babe.
She's like, I need a new identity. I need to refresh myself. And
she wants the thrill, though, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Especially 4 years in prison, you want to fucking shake things up.
Also, it's probably exactly the thing of, like, she's a woman in the 1800s. She doesn't have much.
What's
the
other option?
Yeah.
And especially if you've, like, come out of jail, I highly doubt anyone's, like, throwing you a bone, you know?
Mm.
So when she gets out, she returns to Cleveland. And she now has a new name again.
We're getting closer to
the alias we all know. And this time she is Mrs. Cassie Hoover. And she opens a brothel.
All of these names are quite... Madame.
Madame.
Brothelonery. Yes.
So she's gone from a mind reader to a madame.
Yeah.
Because clearly, I feel like people are coming to her and being like, you're not actually chatting to my dead mum.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what actually is a clairvoyant?
Clairvoyant is that you, I think voyant is see people. Clairaudient is you hear.
Right.
Clairsentient is you feel. They're the senses.
So if you're a clairvoyant in the 1800s, what would you be doing?
I think
doing?
You can see, probably see dead people.
So
like a medium.
Like a crystal ball, you'd have a shawl.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh, I've got a really good person that we can do. There was a person who took photos of people where you could see their dead relatives in the photo.
Oh my god.
That'll have to come in a later episode because I listened to it on an episode of Criminal, which is a brilliant podcast, and I highly recommend it. If you don't listen to it, you'd really enjoy it because you don't actually know if it's like conning or not. And even who's Greatest Showman? What's his
Hugh
name?
Hugh Jackman.
The actual name of the Greatest Showman. I can't remember
Hugh Jackman.
The actual Greatest Showman. He even got involved trying to prove that it was all a con, and it's never been proven otherwise.
Wow.
we'll do that story at some point because it's absolutely brilliant. But sort of a similar thing of being like, you're really taking advantage of people who are in vulnerable positions, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I assume Cassie went and became a clairvoyant so many times. But now she's just taking advantage rather of the sadness. She's taking advantage of the horny. And she's opened a brothel. Yeah.
That's the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where she meets her next husband, who is a wealthy widower doctor named Leroy Chadwick.
Here we go.
So she knew that Leroy had recently lost his wife, so she decided to be a genteel little widow, running a respectable boarding house for women. And then Leroy's like, mate, I know it's a brothel. That's where I met you. I literally came there.
And then I came there.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like, hilarious that he's like, I know you work at a brothel. Like, that's disgusting. And it's like, mate,
you were
buying sex there.
Yeah.
But obviously Cassie's like, shit. So she just pretends to faint. She's like, oh, a brothel. Oh, and then faints. Obviously in her head, she's like, shit, 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 shit. What do I say? What do I say? And gathers her thoughts. She's like, oh, I'm such a hysterical woman. I didn't know any better. Oh, I didn't realise it was a brothel. Please take me away from here.
Oh.
I didn't realise. And he does. So he's like, oh, you poor thing. Takes her away.
Everyone has a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
How thick do you have to be?
She says, I would never be complicit in an operation like that.
Hun.
And he takes her away, and in 1987, they get married.
So fucking desperate hell to save a fallen woman.
Yeah. But it's also like she's being like, oh, you are living under this double standard, so I'm just going to flip it on its head, pretend that I'm like a victim of this,
even though
she fully knows what she's doing. And she takes advantage of the situation. What else can she do, really? Yeah. I mean, there's many other things she could do, but I love her.
But it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
It is a smart thing to do. So while she's married to him, she actually, this is a little bit complicated and a little bit unknown, but she does give birth to a son, I think either when they were married or just before. The son is called Emil Hoover. And it's actually unclear whether or not Dr. Chadwick knew that Emil was in the care of one of the women at the brothel. So it's very possible that she actually, like, potentially hid the pregnancy and the birth whilst they were married. Imagine being like, I can't have sex for the next 9 months. I can't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't think Chadwick was the father. But anyway, she has a son that's being looked after by one of the women at the brothel. But during the time that she was married to Dr. Chadwick, she spends so much money. She's living on this like very famous avenue in Cleveland called Elucid Avenue, which was then it was then known as Millionaire's Row.
Ooh.
So like this man is like super fucking rich, and she's spending so much money that she is spending like exceeding all of her neighbors in how lavish her lifestyle is.
Oh, wow.
She is just spending, 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 spending.
Dripping in diamonds.
Exactly. And what's really sad about this story is because clearly she doesn't come from old money.
Mm.
Like the Rockefellers, the Hannas, the Hayes, the Mathers or the Mathers, like all of those big groups were like, no, we don't want anything to do with you. They were shunning her.
Oh my God.
Which is so ridiculous because the concept of old money in America is fucking mental. Not old at all.
Yeah, exactly. She is essentially like the American dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's playing the system. But everyone's like, no, if you're not old money, don't want to know anything about you. Not
but like
interested.
That Taylor Swift song.
Oh.
What's the one? The Mad Woman one. New album.
I don't know it.
Ooh.
Have a listen. It's so good. It's about the woman who owned her house before her.
Oh.
And she lived in this like incredible house. Don't know where it is. Somewhere like the Hamptons, some like expensive bougie part of America. Mm. And she owned this house and everyone around absolutely hated her because she would throw parties and she would have people there and she married. She married rich. She didn't have loads of money. They thought that she was really like awful and ruining his life. And then when he got ill and died, they totally blamed her. And Taylor Swift's written this banging song about it.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's really cool.
Love that.
And she'd have these like parties with like Dolly Parton and it's fucking cool.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Love that.
And so that's where Taylor Swift has her like massive, I think it's like a 4th of July party or something.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, the dream.
I want to go.
I want to go. Taylor, if you're listening, please send us an invite. Yeah, well, I guess that's basically the same thing. And, and it's really sad as well, because she was like trying in vain to make them like her, like buying them gifts. And they were all just like laugh at her and not invite her to social events. And like, if they did, they'd be like, it's explicitly you're here because of your husband.
Otherwise you wouldn't be invited.
I know, just trying to be really exclusive. And obviously that gives her like a huge fucking chip on her shoulder.
Yeah.
And so she's like, fuck this. I want to be even wealthier. I want to be wealthier than all of you put together. And she's like, becomes determined.
Really?
Yeah. She sets her mind on taking advantage of someone who's richer than her once again. So she sets her sights on conning, I guess, or just kind of including this man called Andrew Carnegie. He was a Scottish
Carnegie Hall.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I imagine that must be a link. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
He was a Scottish-American industrialist and philanthropist, and he led the expansion of the American steel industry, like many railroad stuff.
I think Carnegie Hall is...
So, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
And he's quite amazing, because he was one of the like richest Americans in history, and he was genuinely a good guy, because during the last 18 years of his life, he gave away $350 million, which is about $5.2 billion in today's money. Yeah, and he gave it away to charities and foundations and universities, and it was about 90% of his fortune that he gave away.
Oh, wow.
So he probably, that probably is him, right?
Yeah, he's known for founding the Carnegie Library, Carnegie Institute of Science, Carnegie Corporation of New York.
Do you think Carnegie Mellon is?
Carnegie Mellon University.
Yeah. Yes. So like, yeah. Big deal, this guy. Really big deal. And Cassie's like, you've got the money. You can give me some of that cash.
Definitely. Wow. The money.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a really good guy, and it's a bit of a shame that she's taking advantage of him. But, you know, she's got some shit to prove, so...
So what's her play?
So, he was worth about $6 billion in today's money, and he's quite famous, and she was aware of him, and that's why he became the natural target. And so her play was, when she went to New York City, just for a little wee holiday...
Shopping.
Yeah, just going shopping in...
Browns?
Selfridges? Would there be a Selfridges then? No, that's London, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no Selfridges in New York.
Is it Macy's, you're thinking?
Macy's, oh.
But is Macy's kind of trashy?
I don't know. It's just a department store.
Browns is...
Oh, yeah, what is it?
Selfridges in New York. Whatever that is, that's where she was spending her sweet, sweet dollars. Her husband's sweet, sweet dollars. So when she's there, she asks one of her husband's acquaintances, a lawyer who's called Dylan. Bob Dylan.
What?
His name is Dylan. And she's like, oh, can you take me to Andrew Carnegie's house, please? She didn't say why. She's being really cagey about it. And then when she like comes out of the house, she like drops this paper. And Dylan picks it up and notices that it's a promissory note for $2 million with Carnegie's signature.
How the fuck did she wangle that?
So she's once again doing, she's back at her forgery.
Forgery.
Yeah. She's doing what she knows. She's sticking with what she knows.
But does she enter the house?
Well, yeah, she's in the house for a while. And so he's like out there twiddling his thumbs, being like, how does she know him? What's going on? So when she comes out and drops this note, he picks it up. He's like super interested. And he's like, why have you got this? How did you get this? And she's like, oh no, I can't say. But Dylan's like, I promise to keep your secret. And she's like, okay, fine, I'll tell you. And she reveals, in quotation marks, that she is Carnegie's illegitimate child.
Fucking hell.
Wow.
That's obviously not true. But he's like, oh my God, this multi-billionaire equivalent now has this illegitimate child. And so in reality, she's actually just gone to Carnegie's house and is like chatting to the maid and being like, oh, what's your credentials? Like being like, I want to poach you. And she's taking a sweet time to like build up this illusion of like, you know, what could be going on.
Oh, wow.
But she tells Dylan that she's the illegitimate daughter and that Carnegie feels so guilty that he showers her with like huge sums of money. And she also claims that he's leaving her $7 million. Oh, no, actually, $400 million upon his death, but that currently she has $7 million in promissory notes tucked away in her home in Cleveland. So Dylan's like, holy shit. This woman has just gone from being like a wealthy woman to being like obscenely wealthy upon Carnegie's death. like just huge. So Dylan, like, super sweetly, and like, just because he's just like a nice guy, is like, oh, I'll get a safety deposit box for you for your document. And then he goes and tells everyone.
Oh, snake.
Yeah, which she definitely knew. Yes. She's like, who's like the most loose-lipped friend of my husband? Oh, Dylan, let's take him to take me to Carnegie's house.
God, so she's smart.
She's fucking very smart. Very smart. And this information is leaked like all across the financial markets in Northern Ohio.
Oh, fuck.
So like it becomes like a huge deal.
Oh my God.
And it worked out really well because all of the banks are like, oh, we'll give you a loan, we'll give you a loan.
Oh
because
my God.
That's illegal, right? It's illegal to give a woman a loan. But they're like, because it's illegal and because you don't have the money already, we'll charge you huge amounts of interest to get this money in advance. So they think they're taking advantage of her.
And she's fucking rinsing them.
But she's rinsing them. And she actually managed to get over 8 years, about $2 million, which is about $50 million in today's currency.
Wow. Fucking yeah. Hell.
And so you're thinking, like, this is super risky, right? Like, wouldn't her husband find out? Wouldn't Andrew Carnegie find out? But because of the times and the nature of, like, so much shame and stigma around, like, illegitimate children, it was shameful to have the child out of wedlock. And so she was like, no way is anyone going to shame Carnegie by asking him, so he'll never find out.
But then, was he not reading these papers?
It's not in the papers. It's just like, it's gossip.
It's word.
It's just spreading word. So
he must have heard it though.
Well.
Well.
Also, the banks are doing something illegal. So the banks aren't going to tell each other and they're not going to tell her husband.
Yeah.
Because it's completely illegal to give her these loans with huge amounts of interest. So she's like playing everyone off the back that she is a suppressed woman. As of these times, and so, like, quote unquote, illegitimate. And also because she's this outsider already, you know, people love to gossip about her, but no one wants to actually, like, confront her or anything like that. She's completely taking advantage of all of these negative stigmas, which we just love. So all of the banks just assume as well that Carnegie will, like, pay off the debts when he's dead. No one's asking anything. And she has the most lavish life.
Oh my god. She
is buying diamond necklaces. She's bought enough clothes to fill 30 closets, and she buys a solid gold organ.
Oh. Because everyone needs a solid gold organ.
Naturally.
What to get the woman who has everything? A solid gold organ.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Is it playable?
I haven't a clue. I imagine.
What?
I imagine
an organ.
An organ.
An organ is like huge. The biggest instrument in the entire world.
Yes.
And it's made of solid gold.
Yeah.
But how do you transport that? How do you make it?
Maybe they build it in the house.
How does it operate the floor?
Maybe.
I want to answer all these questions.
So many questions. So many questions. But she, like, because of her ridiculous lavish spending, she becomes known as the Queen of Ohio.
Fucking hell.
And she also claimed to give money to the poor and to the suffrage movement. But
well, she...
Well, I like the idea that she might give to the suffrage movement, being like, you know, I need some rights here.
Yeah.
TBH.
Or rather I don't,
because I am winning under these current limitations. But her greed, like, you know, it's obviously so great to talk about it, but it is her downfall. And so in November 1904, Chadwick receives a $190,000 loan from Herbert B. Newton, who's a Brookline banker. And he just gives her the loan, and then through the grapevine hears about all these other loans that she's been given. And he's like, wait, hold on a second. Like, I never signed up for this, knowing that you're in debt to so many other people. So he's like, I want my money back. She can't pay for it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's the thing. After a while, people will start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think she's also just high on how well it's been working for so long. And he asks that money back and sues her, and other people start to hear about it, and they're like suing her as well. And at the time, she had a debt, like, debts of over $1 million.
Fucking hell.
That people are asking for, like, at that moment.
As in a million at that time?
Yeah. And that's just what they're asking for, because she had probably more than that she owed to the bank. I think she had accumulated, like, $2 million worth of, like, debt of, well, more than that, I guess, because interest. She's borrowed, like, $2 million.
I wonder if she's the kind of person that when she finds out that people have found out, she learns about that and she freaks out and starts, like, stressing, or she's just cool as a cucumber.
I like to think
that. Has a very, like, nihilistic sensibility, and is just like, well, fuck it. It was going to happen one day.
Yeah, I enjoyed it while it was good.
Yeah.
And hey, live fast, die young.
Exactly.
That's definitely, her vibe, isn't yeah. it?
She's got that graffitied on the wall.
Yeah, she's got that tattooed it's on like her butt.
The golden organ. And then live yeah. fast, die young.
Yeah, and when you lift up the casing on it, it just says live fast, die young.
Yeah.
Bad girls do it well.
Chain on my chest. And I'm banging on my dashboard.
Well, no well-behaved woman ever made history.
That's the phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. She had that tattooed on her other arse.
I posted that once on my Instagram. No well-behaved woman makes yeah. history. And some fucking dickhead commented on it.
Being like, actually, that's not true. Audrey Hepburn was very well-behaved. I was like, shut up. What? No one asked you.
Also, as far as you know, Audrey was a good girl.
Oh, I'm sure she had some dirty, dirty secrets.
Yeah, but I hope so.
I hope she did. So she is basically, everything is falling apart. It's all unraveling at this point. And Andrew Carnegie is finally asked about her.
Mm.
Took this long. Fucking it took fucking hell. Ages. I think that's like 8 years or something nuts. Yeah. And he says, I've never met her. I don't know her. I don't have an illegitimate child. And I haven't signed a promissory note in over 30 years.
Mm.
So Chadwick is like, oh shit. She flees to New York, but she's still arrested, and she's arrested in her apartment at this like really fancy hotel, and is taken.
Yeah, she's
back.
Not lying low, is she?
This is where they go wrong. They never fucking lie low.
No, like, she's probably taking that golden organ with her.
Yeah.
That's the giveaway. Leave it behind, hun. She's there, her house is on fire. She's just trying to save the golden organ. Like, her gran's in the corner. She's like, fuck you, gran, I'm here for the organ. Priorities are off, babe. But yeah, she's arrested and she's taken back to Cleveland. And when she was arrested, iconic, she's wearing a money belt containing...
What, like a fanny pack?
Like a fanny pack. containing...
Made of solid gold. With the words, live fast, die young, on it.
Yes. Bad bitch. Does it well. And she's got $100,000 in
Jesus
there.
Jesus fucking Christ.
She probably has another 100,000 stashed up her fanny.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Iconic, just pure diamonds
like
up there.
Like dollars coming out of her ears.
Yeah, genuinely. Like tucked games. Under her tits, like everywhere.
Diamonds for blood.
Yeah, exactly. And instantly her husband's like, yeah, it's over. Divorces her and flees for Europe. He's like, see ya, I'm
fucking
not
up
this. Honestly, he's like, you fucking really came in like a whirlwind and ruined my life.
Never trust another soul for the rest of your
life. Yeah, probably not.
Bless him.
But the thing is as well, like, because of how much money she'd borrowed, this had a massive impact
on the stock market, on the Cleveland banking community.
Yeah. So like the Citizens National Bank of Oberlin had loaned her over $800,000 and suffered a massive run. Do you know what a run is?
No.
It's where people, like, everyone's like, oh, shit, the bank's going down. So
they put all their money.
Take all her money out.
Fuck.
And it was in, and it forced them to go bankrupt.
Fucking hell.
So, like, a massive national bank. And because that bank is national, it's tied to the government. She's then, like, tried for, is it conspiracy? What's it called when you like, defy the queen?
Treason.
Treason. She's tried for treason as well. Oh, like, it's like, really, really bad.
Bloody
so
hell.
It's her second trial that she's in now, because obviously she went to prison the first. Well, it's technically her third trial, isn't it? Because she had that one when she was...
Oh, yeah, 14-year-old.
Yes. Well, she didn't actually have a trial for that, but this is her third time, you know, dealing with the law.
Dalliance, yeah.
Yeah.
It's impressive it's only been three.
Right. Yeah, very impressive, actually. And Andrew Carnegie attends the trial because he wants to see this faux daughter, the woman who had successfully conned all of the nation's bankers. I think there's an element of him being like, bloody well done.
Wish she was my daughter.
Yeah, very impressive. Kind of got a similar, like I passion ability to earn money.
Yeah.
One in a very honest way and one in a very non-honest way.
Well, we don't know about Andrew.
Yeah. Along with Andrew Carnegie being there, all of the people from Millionaires Row, who she's been trying to win the favour of, they all turn up. Like, it's really embarrassing. But it is, like, a total media circus.
Yeah.
It is huge. It's the talk of the town. And it is, yeah, written about in all the papers. On March 10th in 1905... a Cleveland court sentences her to a 14-year prison sentence.
Oh, I thought that would be more.
Yeah, but she's quite old at this
14.
Point. And a fine of $70,000 for conspiracy to bankrupt the Citizens National Bank and conspiracy against the government. So, like I said before, like
that's not a lot, though.
I know, you'd think it'd be a bit more, but I guess they're also like, it's just money, you didn't kill anyone.
She doesn't have any.
Although it's like, again, like basically treason.
But how can she find, how can they find her? She's got no fucking money.
Well, yeah, exactly. She's just in more debt. The that's lady's wild. Just in more and more and more debt. I guess they take most of her stuff as well.
But if you never have the means, you don't have to pay that debt back. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You fucking
exactly.
rinse the people for what they got. Live a lavish life.
And bugger off.
And bugger off.
Get live fast, die young.
Yeah.
So on the 1st of January in 1906, Chadwick was sent to the Ohio State Penitentiary in Columbus, and she brought with her trunks and trunks of her possessions for her prison cell, including like clothing, photographs, and
surely
loads
not.
Of lavish furniture.
Oh, that belongs to her sister.
It always comes back to the bloody the furniture.
Chaise longue. She's got that yeah. fucking chaise longue with her.
She didn't actually loan it in the first no. place. She just carried it on her back all the way.
Exactly. That's why she was so easy to spot again. And the prison warden was so charmed by her and her celebrity status that he just let her keep it all.
Well, completely you would, wouldn't you? Surely the government didn't. This woman's in thousands of pounds of debt. How does she have anything?
The rules at this point are fucking ridiculous. You can't vote, but you can take your furniture to prison with you. I mean, there is
how no, big is her prison cell?
I mean, it must be pretty big.
What happened to the golden organ?
It's like
dying to know.
It's like one of those yellow box storage places. It's just like piled high up to the top and stuff, and she just has like a tiny thing in the middle. Like
she can barely
have my things.
Move.
Yeah,
but she's thrilled because she's just surrounded by lavish goods. But unfortunately, around this time, she gets very, very unwell. I think she's probably just like, you
exhausted.
Know
exhausted.
I'm done. Out. Like, I've lived fast and I'm going to die young.
Yeah.
And she has, like, health complications and she starts creating plans for a funeral in 1907. And then she passes away due to heart and stomach problems. And she dies at age 50. And she died a total icon.
Yeah.
Total. Surrounded by all her stuff. So, you know, I think she died as she wanted to. She really lived her life's mission to go from living on a farm, seeing on millionaire's row, being wealthier than everyone who surrounds
wild.
Her. Just a wild time. And what a life.
Yeah. What a life.
What a life.
Do you think she was a bit of a narcissist? She must be.
Must be.
You've got to be a narcissist. She's not doing it for like... For the case of feminism. Or maybe she is. Maybe she's just trying to prove how fucking stupid.
Just fucking the system. Because the system's fucking her.
Yeah.
So she's fucking it right back.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think, get it, girl.
I think she was probably, you know, grew up as all women did at that time, between a rock and a hard place. And she decided to live it out in style.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Really turn that society, very patriarchal society, on its head and reap the benefits of it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it sounds like she did have a strong ego.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she wouldn't have gone, you know, that big with it.
There's but she needs it. She needs that big ego to survive and to thrive. And that's how she, you know, got to where she was.
Yeah.
It did land her in prison in the end, but you know what? It also landed her on this podcast. And what more could you want from life?
True. She's or looking death. Down. Wish one of us was a clairvoyant, because we'd have her here now.
We'd
have a little chat.
Kath, you are a resident clairvoyant.
Yeah. I know, but I don't dabble in mediumship.
My mum said that if I spoke... My mum said that if I did a Ouija board or if I spoke with spirits, it would ruin my career and my relationships. Like,
okay.
Fully, like, deadly serious.
So
she
not
was like,
you.
Do not do a Ouija board. It will ruin your career.
I think that's like the biggest thing my mum's advice has actually been for me is just
don't
like,
fuck with the dead.
Yeah.
Don't
do a Ouija.
Just talk about them on your podcast instead.
Exactly.
Yeah. So ladies, I've got to ask you because I've got a couple of things here. First of all, have you ever told any good lies on a date?
On a date?
Yeah. Or when you've been dating, you know, have you done any conning in your time? Mull that one over, because first of all, I need to find out whether or not, you know, maybe what percentage of con artists you are.
Mm. Does like being single count?
What, being single?
When you're on a date, being like, I'm single.
that definitely
Does that
fucking
count?
Counts.
Yeah.
100%. Well, we're going to figure out what percentage of con artists you are. I'm going to need you to keep track of how many you say yes to. So I've got 10 questions here for you.
Oh my God, this is so fun.
So, have you ever given a fake phone number?
Oh, yeah, of course I have.
No, I just don't give them my phone number.
Okay, I definitely have.
Yeah.
So 10% for us. Have you ever lied about your age? Is that a yes from you,
Kathy? I think I must have lied about my age before.
Pretended you're older or younger?
Probably both.
Thorpe Park.
No, that's height, isn't it?
Wait, is this with love interests?
This is with love interests.
This is with love interests. Yeah, probably.
You know, to get a free drink or something in a bar?
I have not, no.
Oh, she's an honest lady.
You're an honest woman.
Okay, have you ever lied about your work schedule to avoid a date?
Yeah.
No. I just say no.
You have been in a relationship for a very long time.
Many people keep inundating me with date requests.
This is
a nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever pretended you just came from somewhere where you were all dressed up when really you've been doing your makeup for 5 hours?
I don't think I have done that.
Okay, I definitely have done that. I haven't done that. Like, oh, I just like rolled out of bed like that. I woke up like this. No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. I've done that thing where like you wake up in the morning and they're still asleep and you go into the bathroom and you do your makeup and then you get back in bed.
Yes, okay.
You the classic bridesmaids.
Yes.
I've done
that.
Yeah,
that definitely counts.
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever pretended you've never been to the date location you're on when you're on your next date there? Being like, oh, this is my first time here. No, I've never come on a date here.
No, I've never done that. I feel like
that's
I,
more but is that for the benefit of them?
Yeah.
No.
Oh God, no. If anything, I'd do the opposite and be like, "Yeah, I've been here before. I haven't ever."
They'd be like, "I've taken somewhere else. This sucks."
Yeah.
You're just negging them.
Yeah.
Love that for you. Have you ever pretended to have an interest you don't really have?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you going to talk about?
You love ice hockey. Oh, me too. Mouth guards. Am I right? Big sticks, oh yeah.
Sure.
Oh, have I?
I'm sure I have as a teenager, but yeah.
Oh, as a teenager for sure. Like, yeah, I love that album. It's a sick album.
Yeah.
And you're like, who in Nirvana?
Who the hell there? I don't know. Yeah, been there. Have you ever pretended that you start work really early the next day to avoid having to carry on the date? This was a classic one.
That is a
dates.
Good one.
Like, I've got an audition first thing. GTG.
I've never done that.
I don't think I've been on enough dates to pull that one out of the bag.
Have you ever said, let's do this again, when you really didn't want to? Like,
oh,
that,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah, like Chandler Bing when he's like, we should do this again. Shit. Because you just can't help it. You're like, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
But also,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
let's
100%.
Never do this again.
100%.
Okay.
Oh, and I have definitely lied about my schedule. I'm thinking now. I have definitely.
Yeah. Have you ever lied about why you and an ex-partner ended?
No.
No, I don't think I have.
So no cheaters in the house.
Oh, no, I have cheated. But we didn't end
because of that.
I worked him and I got him back, so it's fine.
You total fucker.
That's not why we broke up.
You get a fucking point for that. Okay, and final one. Have you ever pretended to forget your wallet?
No.
So that they have to pay?
No, never.
Okay.
Have you?
Do you know what? I once was dating this really fucking stingy guy where I paid for everything.
Oh, yeah.
That it got to the point where it should have just been like, fucking pay for it. So how many out of 10 did you have then?
I think I had about 6 or 7.
So 60% con artist. Hanako?
I think it was 3.
30% con artist. I was at 5. 50%.
You were at 5? Why am I so high? No.
Because you're a clairvoyant. That's why.
That's why. Oh, I thought you got higher.
It's the dead people.
Oh, no. No.
Cat.
Oh, no.
The dead people told me to do it.
I love it.
The ghost told me to ghost.
Or am I just a people pleaser?
Am I a con artist or am I a people pleaser? That's for my therapist to unpack.
Okay. You're a people pleaser with the potential to become a con artist.
Yes, maybe both.
Okay, so any good lies from dates that you've told? Or like any good conning you've done? Anything Cassie-esque?
Okay, yes to the latter. So I mean, I used to steal a lot as a teenager.
Oh,
yeah, like a lot.
Naughty.
I mean, didn't you guys steal?
Maybe.
No, maybe.
I think we all went through that phase being like, I am angry at my parents for loving me so much that... This is so fucking
professional. Where's this going?
Like being like, I want to rebel against my parents who are actually very lovely and understanding, but I'm going to still be a rebel and go and steal some cream eggs from the corner shop.
Okay, that wasn't my impetus.
Okay, well, oh God, charmed life. Anyway, we move.
No, it definitely wasn't like a, you know, Oliver Twist situation.
No.
It was more like...
On the hard streets of Wimbledon.
Yeah, on the hard streets of Wimbledon. It was more like, you know, wanted nice clothes, didn't get pocket money, so fucking stole that shit. That kind of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, fair.
I am, and on one of my escapades, I was like quite a good thief.
What age are we talking?
Like 14, 15.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like,
but don't advise this, guys, if you're...
Well, I'm joking.
No.
Wait, don't. Don't, because this is what will happen to you. I was on a shopping trip, in quotation marks, with two of my friends, and we decided to hit up Urban Outfitters on Oxford Street.
Yeah.
There was this very lovely lacy black bandeau that I had my eyes on. No fucking security tags on it. So I was like, great, put that in my
bag.
Five finger discount.
That's what they call it, isn't it?
Slipped it into my bag. Walked out the door. Beep, beep, beep.
Oh, no.
That sounds like an ambulance. The ambulance didn't arrive.
The security guy did.
And he obviously frisked me, looked into my bag, and in between the tampons and the lip glosses, he found a lacy black bandeau with the tag on it. And it was because it was one of those, it was flat a normal tag. It was a flat tag, but it was just the barcode that set it off.
We're not condoning that. But if you have ever committed some sort of wild stealing act, definitely send us that story.
Yes. Send us that story. Because this is actually very, very tame. It was just a little bandeau, not millions and thousands. Millions and thousands? Thousands and millions of very rich men. On Millionaire Row, but I did get sent downstairs to the basement and they did take a mugshot of me.
Oh god.
And I was banned from all Urban Outfitters worldwide.
Wow, but didn't you end up doing a campaign for them?
So your
mugshot became the did face you? Of Urban Outfitters.
A month later, my first ever modelling job, it was Urban Outfitters.
That is so fucking funny. Hilarious.
So you can't go into their shop, but you can model their clothes.
And then I steal all of them as well. No, I never stole them on the job. By that point, I was making money.
So you could buy them.
I stopped stealing.
Lovely. That was just your fight against capitalism, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
Fuck the system.
Corporations.
Fuck the corporations. Yeah. Who got any stories, Cathy?
Any Cassie moments?
Again, coming up against my memory.
Inability to remember anything.
Why are you Dory? From
I think I could be. Do you think it's a problem?
A trauma response? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Sorry. Do you know what it is? It's because they talk about it and feel good. That's what
yes,
she's like,
she does.
I can't remember my childhood. But she can't remember stuff because she's so traumatised by it. But to be fair, I have huge
gaps
in my memory around my childhood.
Which that does feel more traumary. Whereas mine is just a general haze. What have I ever done? I think I've done rogue shit, but I can't remember any of it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it'll come up.
Well, I mean, you are essentially a clairvoyant. Are you not?
Why does that make a difference?
Well, you just are Cassie.
Like Cassie.
Ah, okay. Yeah. That's probably
See,
my
terrible
most
memory.
Yeah. She's probably been fucking conning all of us. We love that for you. You can con me all day long, baby.
I actually did go to school with someone. This is a completely different story. I went to school with someone who used to, like, every single time that she'd see you or she'd, like, come to your house or you'd go to anyone's house, she would steal something. And we were never invited to her house.
That was
ever.
Right.
Was it?
Yeah, I used to steal key rings from my friends' bags.
Why?
We would do pottery class and I would pretend that mine was someone else's because I preferred theirs. Okay, I'm very Cassie, aren't I?
You are. I'm now a little bit scared.
I'm a bit worried.
I'm not inviting you around to my house anymore.
I was a devil child.
Really?
Yeah.
You were the youngest. I think it's a given,
Thank
isn't it?
God I went to church as a child. Otherwise, I would have been fucked.
You would have been smited.
Well, perhaps that's why.
Yeah.
I was so devilish.
Yeah, because of the church.
Rebelling.
I don't think so, no. It was very wholesome.
Oh,
it was.
Good.
Yeah, it was very lovely.
God. I was about to say her name. But yeah, she used to... I was going to say, oh, God, you're a real... The person's name. But that would be bad.
Let's not out.
But she would, like, never have us over, would never invite us around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we went over to hers once and she had a drawer under her bed that was full to bursting with our stuff.
She's like Tom Riddle.
That's so naughty.
Wild. Tom Riddle,
Tom Riddle. With that shaking cabinet.
Yeah, isn't it wild?
Naughty.
I have pretended to be other people as well.
Yeah, I've probably done that.
For sure.
But I just can't remember when or where.
I pretended to be a hooker once.
Did you?
A hooker?
A hooker.
A sex worker.
No, hooker. No, because I was like from New York when I was, and I was like, I'm a hooker, and I'm a stripper and a hooker, and that was like my thing.
Oh my gosh.
So I was standing outside.
That is very Cassie. Yeah.
That is very Cassie. Yeah.
And it was to a woman who was passing by, and then it turned out that she was but she said that she was pole dancer and a stripper. Oh. And we bonded over that. She was like, God, you're so classy for a stripper.
Oh,
it was lovely.
False friends.
I was lying out through my teeth.
Though. Yeah, very Cassie. Very Cassie.
Hannah.
Do you know what? The only thing I can think of, I mean, I've lied so many times to get free drinks. Don't get me wrong. That is something I have done.
But what do you lie about?
But what do you say?
Just like different name, different job, you know, whatever. Just like whatever their interest is, being like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm so fascinated in that. Now buy me my drink because it's £13 and I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
you know, it's the small wins against the patriarchy. Yes. But one time, and I only say this because this is a friend of yours and this is how I got outed. So a friend of mine, Freya, who's like a very old friend, I used to lie all the time about my age because I used to go to clubs underage.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Use a fake ID.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we were on a table at Cercle Soir in London, which is like a circus-themed club. And we were on a table with these two girls and we were really young and we'd pretended that we were 25 because that was how old our IDs were. And also, our IDs were Australian, so we had Australian accents when we came in, and we didn't want to be outed. So we came up with fake names. We used our fake ID names. I was Katarina. I was 25, and I was from New South Wales.
Katarina.
Oh, right. Who also was my alter ego for a long time. I used to be like, if I did something embarrassing when I was drunk, I'd be like, I didn't do that. Katarina did that. I'd be like, someone would be like, oh, look at this video of you drunk. I'd be like, that's not me. That's Katarina. And fucking burn that video because it's embarrassing. Anyway, so I met this girl. And her friend, and her name was Amelia. She's quite a well-known person. Her name's Amelia de Moldenberg. Aww. You may know her from Chicken Shop Dates. And basically, we told her that we were like much older than her. She's like, I'm 18. My name's Amelia. And we were like, oh, we're 25 and we're from Australia. Anyway, it turns out Hanako was like best friends with her. And when I met Hanako when I was 18, and she was like, oh, at a party, I met Amelia again and she was like, so you're not a 25-year-old girl from Australia.
She remembered you.
She remembered you. Yeah, because hey. I made like a big fat fucking short song and dance about my huge fake life.
You actually got on stage at Cirque du Soleil.
But the thing is, Cirque du Soleil. Yeah, Cirque du Soleil. I actually even joined the circus. No, but honestly, when I say like, because we thought like, oh, these will just be two girls who are probably like, really up their own asses. They're in this like really fancy club. We thought we were like the bee's knees because we were like, oh, we're really conning everyone to get free drinks. But then Amelia was amazing and I was like, oh fuck, this is such a shame that we don't get to be friends because I've lied about absolutely everything. And then I met her again and she's actually such a lovely, lovely lady.
She's so lovely.
So great.
We need to get her on.
Charismatic as hell.
Here.
As hell. But yeah, that's my big Cassie moment.
Brilliant.
So
good.
I have some stories that I found of people who have told great lies on dates.
Yes!
Oh, yes!
So, Kath, you're first.
Yes! Okay, so this is from Alison M10. I pulled a Miranda from Sex and the City and said I was a flight attendant. Being decently well-travelled, I was able to give anecdotes about several random cities and countries offhand. It was always so much easier and more fun to blow off a guy by saying, sorry, I have an early flight to Ireland tomorrow. And I mean, it should have been pretty obvious that I was lying since the closest airport to my location was over an hour away. But since some guys were gullible enough to believe it, I didn't feel too bad about playing the part.
Alison. That is a great way to be like, you can't stay for breakfast.
That's so good.
Get out.
Okay, so this is from Coney Girl, K-O-H-N-E Girl, and it's called The Tinder Therapist. There was this one guy who I pretended to psychologically read by using a lot of blanket statements. I told him how I knew he'd been hurt before and how he was only using Tinder for a friends with benefits relationship because of his fear of commitment. After about 20 minutes, he claimed I somehow knew him better than any girl he'd ever met.
Lol! I love that. That's so like taking advantage of the male ego being like, yeah. oh my God, you really see me. And it's like, no, you're just like all other men.
Yes, yeah. It's like, talk about me. Tell me what I'm like.
Yeah, people love that.
I love it.
You're just on a date with someone that's emotionally mature.
Yeah.
Who understands feelings.
Or who's like lived for longer than 5 years.
And who
years.
Can read yeah. it from your Tinder profile being like,
yes.
just pictures of you holding big fishes.
Yes.
And being dodgy about your schedule.
I love this fish thing.
It really is a thing. So this one is called the Family Catfish, and it's from KLPLPC.
That's or Clubblips.
Clubblips. Exactly. I once created a Tinder profile just to try and catfish my partner so I could show my parents that he does, in fact, just try and hook up with random girls.
That is genius.
That is genius, but like you and your parents don't need to know.
No, but I think it's quite good if he's being like, no, I'm actually a really stand-up guy. And yeah. he's like, no, you're not. You sent me a yeah. dick pic. Oh no, that's so risky.
Ew.
Hell no, absolutely ew. Not.
Okay, so this one is The College Con Artist.
Another difficult screen name.
Yes, I think that's Kayla Kay. Okay. So I made up this whole fake story about how I was a college student who went to school in the city, but went home on the weekends. I said I was working 3 jobs to send money home, oh, hilarious, and really played up the broke college student struggle. So anyway, a few of the guys I match with are like, is there any way I can help you out? Oh, I fucking love this.
Yes.
And several ended up offering me money. These guys started sending me like $50 each.
This is a bit of me.
That went on for a few weeks, so I was making bank on this whole thing. I think altogether I probably made around $800.
Amazing.
All
from
a dating app. All from a dating app. That is a bit of me.
Wow.
I want to do that.
That is con artistry.
That is brilliant.
That is proper Cassie.
Isn't it?
That's like modern day Cassie.
Really good.
That's so good.
Yeah, and just like taking advantage of people who are like, oh, I just want to help out you. Like,
yeah,
can
again,
I help you
out?
Turning that damsel in distress on its head.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. We love to see. Go on,
so,
last one from you, Hannah.
Yeah, the last one is from Sky Heth, and it's called The Trumped Up Flirtationship. During the last elections, I matched with a guy, only to later find out he was a Trump supporter. I am not. Once he messaged me, I started to quote sexist things Trump has said just to mess with him. I wrote, a person who is flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
Ugh.
He was constantly agreeing with me, and soon enough, I couldn't take it anymore. I quickly shot in my 2 cents about Bernie and blocked him.
Yeah.
Bernie.
Doing her political good, even on the dating apps. We admire you, Sky.
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 Oh.
Well done. I mean, that was the least he deserved, to be honest.
Yes.
If he was agreeing with those sentiments, he clearly has mental health problems that need to be addressed, and he shouldn't be on dating apps.
Totally.
Yeah.
I saw a girl on TikTok who was like, whenever people send me pictures of their dicks, I just screenshot it and then send it to the next person who sends me a dick pic, and then I'm just forwarding everyone's dick pics to each other. Which
that's
I also...
like cold chain link of cult... Nope.
Oh my God.
A cold chain link of... dick
pics. Yeah, that is fucking joke.
Love it. Oh, to all the con artist ladies, the fuck girls out there, you are icons.
We see you.
We see
we
you.
We see you.
And Hannah,
we, you.
We see you. That
we
was
see
so
you
good.
Baby.
We love that. That was such a good episode.
It could not be with someone like Cassie in the subject.
Amazing.
Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you, Cassie.
Thanks, Cassie. Chat to you later.
No, we can't.
No, sorry. Sorry.
Next week, we're going from the naughty 19th century to the golden age of Hollywood,
where we dive into the glamour and tragedy of the iconic inspiration behind Cruella de Vil, Tallulah Bankhead, darlings. In the meantime, you can help us by rating and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening. And you can find even more fuckboyery on social media at F-Boy Podcast.
And at our website, fboypodcast.com, where you can send us your very own listener stories. We are dying to hear from you.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audioboom. So watch out, darling.
We're coming for you.